Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always good to be here Sunday evening.
Yes. Yes, it is. Amen, brother.
Yep. Yeah.
Are we done?
I think that's about it.
Okay.
So, we'll see you next week.
No.
Wait a minute. I forgot about ambassadors.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We're talking about ambassadors today.
Yeah, somebody told me a story once about a famous evangelist who, now I can't remember who it was, but they were on an airplane, and somebody asked him what they do for a living, and he said, "I'm an ambassador." And then he got up to go to the bathroom, and the people around him were saying, "Hey, the guy says he's an ambassador." "Oh, the guy's an ambassador." So then he came back from the bathroom and said, "So what country do you go to? Where, you know?" He goes, "Oh," he goes, "no, I'm an ambassador for Christ," you know, like St. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. And they all kind of rolled their eyes and went, "Oh, yeah, whatever."
Ooh.
But, you know, we all are ambassadors.
We are.
And last week, if you were with us, and if not, hopefully you can listen to that show on the website.
We can get that posted on the website?
Who knows? We've had a little technical difficulty the last couple of weeks.
Bumbling things are driving us crazy.
Yeah. But last week we talked about the Great Commission, and we used the end of the book of Matthew, and where Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and you guys are going to go and preach to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about his authority, that the authority was given to him because of what he had done, how he had fulfilled his part of salvation history. He had done the actual act of salvation on the cross. The resurrection was the ultimate sign of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, interestingly, the men that he was talking to were told to go. It's an active, very active kind of a verb. When you say go, you have to go out and do something. You have to move from where you are. You can't just stay in the same place all the time.
Now, they first had to form a committee, right?
Well, yeah, they had to have some committees, of course, because you have to have meetings or else you can't get anything done without meetings.
And a slew of meetings.
Yeah.
And then more committee stuff. And
I'm always in trouble because I don't go to meetings, because I always tell people meetings are for people who like to hear themselves talk. I'd rather actually do the work than do the meeting. But anyway, so go and preach, go and make disciples. And he says to all the nations, which means now that the message is not just for the Jews who are the covenant people, but for the Gentiles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have their marching orders, so to speak, mm-hmm. from the commander, because now the message has to be sent out to the rest of the world in order to bring people into the kingdom.
Yeah, and Christ is the commander, if you will.
Yeah.
You know,
because he has the authority.
He has all the authority. It's been given to him. And, you know, Jesus says this even in his earthly ministry, where he talks about the sheep and the gatefold and the robber,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, anyone who enters except by the gate is a thief and a robber. I mean, if you can't come in through the gate when it's open, then you don't really have access. You haven't been given access to what's there. And if you have to climb over the wall and scurry your way in, well, you're not really given access or authority in that way either.
Mm.
So it's not for us to take and conquer. That's, you know, that's purely a human way of thinking. But Jesus has the access or the authority, and he gives us the authority to go out and preach. He gives us the commission to go out and preach.
That's right.
And to act on his behalf.
Excellent.
Not to speak and make up things on my own,
mm-hmm.
but to know his word and to speak on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great responsibility.
Huge.
Huge responsibility.
Yes.
Even, yeah, it's immense.
Yes.
And, you know, an ambassador, and we've talked about this before, but an ambassador isn't someone who goes around and speaks of their own plan or agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They speak of the, you know, they speak of what the message is that they've been given to proclaim.
That's right.
And so as Christ sends us out, as he sends out the, you know, the first apostles, the first disciples, he tells them to go out therefore and make disciples of all nations, to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say baptize people just in the name of God or just in the mm-hmm. name of the Son or just right. in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But all three, because God is one.
That's right.
There is no division. And baptism is important because we are baptized into Christ. We die to Christ and rise again through our baptism. Just as when God gave Abraham the covenant,
mm-hmm.
the male was to be circumcised on the eighth day. That circumcision was a sign of the covenant that they had life with God. So too is our baptism in Christ a sign of the covenant that we have life with Christ. It's extremely important. And I don't think Jesus would have said it if it wasn't.
Mm.
You know, but in,
he made a pretty strong point.
He made a very strong point, but there's a strong prevalent, heresy, if you will, in our culture where people think, you know, I'm going to wait for baptism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that. Well, what does Jesus say about it? And if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, are you willing to follow what he's commanding, what he's proclaiming?
Yeah.
You know, but that baptism, you know, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. What does John tell him? You should be baptizing me.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, no, this must happen for the fulfillment of all righteousness.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit was going to descend upon him and remain.
That's right.
So there's something very important that happens in baptism. If God the Father sent the Holy Spirit upon his own Son when he was baptized in the Jordan, what do we as disciples receive in our baptism in Christ? The same Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, that dwells within us
yeah.
and enables us to go forth. Now, we have to be open to that. Mm-hmm. So that God can move, you know, work with, we have to cooperate with God's grace, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something very significant about what Jesus is telling his disciples to do. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right. And this is, you know, I hate to call it a formula, but this is the formula. And again, we have to point out to these guys who are listening to him, they're not really clear on this because they don't, you know, in 2,000 years of Christian history,
mm-hmm.
we have, not that we understand the Trinity, but we know about the Trinity.
Yeah.
This would have been to them a little mysterious because they knew the one God. That's what separated the Israelites from the Gentiles.
Yeah.
But there they were with the resurrected Christ. They were ready to go. He mm-hmm. had just told them, you're going to go and you're going to do this. And, you know, since we're coming up on Pentecost next Sunday.
It is next Sunday.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that, of course, is going to be the empowerment that these guys need. At this point, they don't have like a lot of empowerment. Even though they've seen the risen Christ, they're kind of still pretty dumpy, and they still don't really get the idea mm-hmm. of what's going on around them.
Yeah.
But he's given them their credentials and their orders.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said last week, this applies to us today.
Yes.
In the 21st century, mm-hmm. it applied to people in the 19th century and the 7th century and the 12th century. It's applied to people all through Christian history to spread the gospel. There are people all over the world who don't have a clue what the gospel is.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking about the baptism that he commands here.
Yeah.
And I hate to use the word formula. You know, there are people on Christian television that have all kind of strange ideas about baptism, or they baptize people in the name of Jesus and nobody calls them on it.
Yeah.
Nobody says, excuse me, but in Matthew 28, he says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, just baptize them in my name. Everything will be cool.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, there's a lot of confusion, of course, that's going on now. But when these guys got their marching orders, and when we talk about Pentecost next week, you know, we'll see they got not only the marching order, but they got the power that went along with them. You know, these guys didn't go around preaching just a feel good message. Like, well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but could you just consider what we're going to tell you about Jesus? I mean, just think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't like it, it's okay. I'm sure that your gods are cool too. And, but just, you know, think about this.
You know, if you don't want to be baptized in the Father, in the name of the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can make some exceptions for that. And if you want a different formula, we'll do that too.
We'll do that. Yeah.
No, they didn't do any of it. You're right. They didn't do any of that.
That's right.
You know, part of what, you know, if we're honest about it, part of it where what it comes from is the differences in denominations. I'm not going to do this because that's what a Catholic does. I'm not going to do this because that's what a Protestant does. I'm not going to do that because that's what a Baptist does.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do the other thing because that's what Jewish people do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really our own humanness getting in the way of what does God say?
Yeah.
What is the truth of what Jesus Christ says?
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, scripture study is, and scholars have to study these things, but you can't let the overriding principle of, well, I'm not going to believe that because that denomination says it,
right.
And I don't think that denomination is right.
Right.
You know, certainly there are things that we do need to, I think, carefully consider.
Yeah.
But when Jesus himself says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and it's in scripture, probably
that means you do it.
Probably, you know, probably pretty safe to say, yeah, that's probably something I'm going to do, because a disciple, an ambassador, doesn't do their own thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Lord, you know, Jesus says, I don't do anything except what I see the Father doing. I don't say anything except what I hear the Father saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't come on my own authority, but by the one who sent me.
Yeah.
Now, if he does that, who are we to think that we don't have to follow that formula?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
and as you're talking about the difference in denominations, I always have to sit there and look. I always have to sit there with a stupid look on my face when you see a book or a conference advertised about women in the Bible, but Mary, mother of Jesus, is not included in that. Because after all, you know, maybe some Catholics go overboard and, you know, quote, worshiping, unquote, her, and maybe Catholics might be, you know, doing a little too much, so therefore we better not even talk about her.
Yeah.
So let's just pretend like there's all these awesome women in the Bible, but we better not talk about Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, I just sit there going, what?
As if she didn't, as if she had no role.
That's right. As if she didn't, barely existed. But, I mean, you're right. That's a sad commentary on our divisions.
Yeah. And I think it takes a great amount of humility to come to that place of going, what are the divisions that divide us, and are they real?
Yeah.
Or are they, you know, if you think about the divide that happened between the Eastern Church and the Western Church
mm-hmm.
back in 1054,
mm-hmm.
was it because God told them to split, or was it because of their own pride?
Yeah, Jesus wanted them all to be one as you yeah. and I are one.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down, you know, 99.99999% of the time, everything comes down to pride.
Right. I mean, these people, when they went out, he said go, when they went out to preach, they said there's no other name by which you must be saved. There's no other way to salvation. This is salvation. They never beat around the bush about it. Paul never says, oh, I don't know, you know, I know this is kind of hard to believe, but you know, he says, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's all I talk about.
Yep.
Because that's all that's important to me. That's all that should be important to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have this sort of seeker-friendly thing yeah. where, you know, we'll sing a couple of songs and we'll tell you how much Jesus loves you and then we'll go home. Because yeah. it's much more than that. This is the key. This is the basis of salvation. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and talk about the Pentecost show, but of course, when the Holy Spirit falls on them Pentecost morning, they understood this in a complete, powerful way.
Yeah.
Then they got all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saul of Tarsus, you know, kind of like got blasted with it in a little different way,
yeah.
but still got blasted with it.
Mm-hmm.
That so much so that he changed his whole way of life. In summary, we can say that Jesus had commissioned these guys,
mm-hmm.
but the Holy Spirit then empowers them to do it.
He yes.
empowers them to go.
Excellent. Excellent point, yeah.
And it's very difficult for us. I mean, if you're sitting in your family room, you know, and you're reading the Bible and you're reading some books about the Bible and you're praying and you say, I really would like to do something, it's pretty hard to say, okay, I think I'll just go out and start preaching the gospel. Well, where should I go? What should I do? Should I go to the grocery store and start? You know, should I go down on the corner? But the Holy Spirit will empower you and show you where you need to go.
Yeah.
And this is the whole point of Jesus commissions them. The Spirit empowers them.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I was asked to give a witness, and it's going to be this Wednesday that I'm going to share a testimony of how God worked in my life. And how it came about was there's a young man, a senior in high school, who asked to play the guitar at the one church that I minister at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's just learning, but he's showing good progress. And one day he asked me a question and we started talking and I don't even remember how we got on the subject, but I ended up sharing with him what happened in Cancun, what happened at the Charismatic Conference. And he was so impacted by this that he went to his youth minister and told her all about it.
Mm.
So I get a call from the youth minister and she wants to know if I would come and share with the group what God did in my life. So, not even, and that's really the way the Holy Spirit works,
mm-hmm.
is we're simply called to testify what God has done for us,
mm-hmm.
you know? But not everybody, you know, I was really far away from the Lord. And I was, as I was talking with the youth minister before, you know, as we were just initially talking, I said, you know, I was really far away from the Lord. And I think that's why he had to take such drastic measures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And somebody who is not far away from the Lord, who hasn't wandered that far, maybe
Some show we should both do our testimonies.
Yeah.
I love the Cancun thing.
Yeah. But there's, you know, just because somebody doesn't have a powerful testimony doesn't mean,
of course,
that they can't evangelize.
Of course.
It only shows how far away from the God I was and what God really did for me.
Yeah.
Ooh, the break.
Ooh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in a minute.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, commissioned and empowered. I like that.
Yeah.
So they
good
knew, and you know, you brought up the point when you're an ambassador, they're not giving people their own ideas, their own agenda. They're giving people the king's ideas, the king's agenda, the king's orders. And that's something that, you know, even when you look at the ambassadors from one country to another, the American ambassador doesn't go to the French government and say, well, here's what I think, you guys, here's what I think, blah, 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 blah. He says, well, the American government thinks this, and the president instructed me to tell you this. He doesn't have his own, he doesn't put his own opinion into it.
Right. They don't ask him, so what does the president think? Oh, don't forget about that guy.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do our own thing here.
Exactly.
We're going to cut a deal behind, behind closed doors.
Yeah. So if somebody came up to Paul in some city in Greece and asked him a question, Paul wouldn't say, well, you know, I did kind of think that sounded kind of odd. But, now that, you bring up a pretty good point, and, you know, don't worry, we can kind of work around this. Mm-hmm. He said, no, this is the deal.
Yeah.
This is what the kingdom is. This is what the gospel is. This is what salvation is. It isn't what you think.
Yeah.
And if you think it doesn't sound right, well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's not the kingdom's problem.
You know, when, and we'll talk about this next week when Peter gives that speech at Pentecost.
Oh, yeah.
But Peter wasn't concerned with the congregational size, the collection plate, the attendance on Sunday. He wasn't concerned with any of that. Mm. What he was concerned about was speaking the truth. And when the truth was spoken, because it was truth spoken from the heart, the power of the Holy Spirit moved upon those people, and their hearts were cut to the chase.
Yeah.
They were convicted.
Yeah.
That what they did was wrong. Mm-hmm. And they repented. You know, even in our culture, even the word conviction, some people don't like that word.
Oh, no.
Don't use that word. That's
negative.
That is negative. No, it's not negative, because it can bring salvation, because the conviction leads to repentance. And repentance leads to you professing that Jesus Christ is Lord,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
That's the grace that's available. What we want to do is we want to make everything sanitized and nice so that nobody has to go through any type of pain or suffering to get to salvation. Well, if that's the case, then Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross.
Mm.
There was pain and suffering to get to Easter Sunday, to get to the resurrection.
Yeah.
We can't get to salvation without going through our own dying of self.
Mm.
We have to. Mm. And dying to self is not a, you know, it's not a pleasant thing. It's painful. It can hurt. But the fruit, what awaits you is is eternal life with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the little bit of, as, you know, Paul even says, you know, the trials and tribulations that we endure here on earth are nothing as compared to what awaits us.
Yes.
In the kingdom of heaven.
Go ahead.
But I was just going to conclude that, but in our culture, and I see this in ministry too, people want to coddle and, you don't have to suffer. You don't know if they see somebody hurting or crying,
mm-hmm.
they don't let the person just grieve or just, you know, go through that portion of the emotion that they need to go through it. They'll try and stop it. And really what happens is they stop the healing process that God's trying to do.
Yeah. They'll take pills in order to not be grieving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not how we're made.
Right.
We're made to go through a grieving process because that's how you heal.
Right. It's all, you know, I teach music and I've been doing some vocal instruction lately.
Doesn't teach me any music.
I'm sorry. My schedule's been pretty full. I don't have any more room for any more students.
I guess I got that McPherson guitar for nothing.
Oh, you got a McPherson. Oh, I can take you in tomorrow. Make sure you bring your guitar. But if you, you know, if I, and I think about how the voices, the vocal, you know, how, we speak and sing, mm-hmm. we utter speech without even thinking about it. Yeah. It just does it automatically. And every time that somebody comes in and they want to sing, a lot of times they overthink what they're doing.
Yeah, sure.
And then they put all this strain and pressure on the vocal cords and you don't need to do all that. Because as soon as your brain thinks about singing a song, a word, all the muscles, the neurological system sends out the impulse to the muscles and they all start to work together so that the vocal cords will produce that sound without even thinking. It's just amazing. I'm amazed by that.
That's right.
And so the way that, where's I going with this? How we are created is for God's glory, but he creates us in such a way that, we come before God humbly mm-hmm. and acknowledge, we have to acknowledge that things we do don't please God. Just like Cain and Abel.
Yes.
Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God. Cain's was not. Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
If everything I do, and I hear people say this, well, I do this, I praise God in my own way, I worship God in my own way.
Right.
But have I ever asked God, does that please you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that pleasing to you?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to preach the message of salvation, myself personally, I think God's brought me to a place where I have to ask God on a daily basis, is that pleasing to you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's wanting to mature and grow in the love of Christ that, I am being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm not going and doing my own thing, but I am carrying the message that he's entrusted to me. And I was going to say before that, some people think, they may think that, oh, I don't have that kind of a testimony, or I don't know that much about scripture,
yeah.
and how do I even do this? Well, even in the smallest of ways, telling someone that Jesus Christ loves them
mm-hmm.
is proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah.
You have to start. God's going to use you where you're at.
Yeah.
If I try and go and preach outside of what God has taught me or what I've, what he's shown me or what I've experienced.
Yeah.
That's when I get into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking, that's what was going across my mind.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed over the years, and I'm sure you have too, and everybody out there who's ever witnessed to someone or talked to anybody, even on a pretty basic level,
mm-hmm.
When you present the gospel and you talk about sin, the concept of sin gets people upset because they always say, well, that's what you think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think. I don't believe that. You can believe that, but that I don't believe that. You can believe that.
Right.
But, as an ambassador, see, the demands we make on people are not our demands.
Right.
Like, if I made a plan of salvation, I would make a totally different one. I'd make a really easy one. Me and all the people I like would be saved in some really simple way. In a really simple way. But, we as the ambassadors, when we present the gospel, we get accused of being narrow-minded and bigoted
mm-hmm.
because we're suggesting that this is the only way to salvation.
Right.
The issue is we're not making the plan. We're the ambassadors. We're not demanding that kind of thing from somebody on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We know that those are the instructions that we've been given.
Right.
Because after all, the ambassador speaks with the authority that's been given to him by whoever the head of his government is.
Yeah.
Whether it's a king or a president or an emperor mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Right.
And so when you go out to preach the gospel, you're an ambassador because you've got the marching orders in your head and you've got by his authority, you present that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your authority. It's not your plan.
Right.
It's not your demands. you don't say, like many people say to me, well, you know, you think that I'm going to be damned because of this. I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it's not true, but I know that it is true.
Right.
And, you know, if you soft pedal what you're supposed to be presenting, you're not doing that person a favor.
No, you're really not. You know, what you're saying there is really important because the defense mechanism comes into play very quickly with our human emotions. Mm-hmm. And I'm a good person.
Right.
Don't tell me that I'm bad. Well, I used to think that way.
Sure.
And what the person who says that does not understand or not realize is that I was in their shoes at one point in my life, and God showed me the reality of where I was at.
And I know a lot of people worse than I am.
I used to say that all the time. Oh gosh, that person's way worse than I am.
Me too.
I'm pretty holy compared
to
them.
Look what that guy's done.
Look at, yeah, you know, I was falsely inflated with my own pride of thinking that I was okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad person.
I even go to church most of the time.
Once in a while I get there. You know, hey, that's, you know, this is great. But the reality was, when you stand before God, when I stood before, you know, when I came to that place of being before the Lord and just seeing His holiness and my unholiness.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's unmistakable.
Yeah, that was something I really remember.
You know, I mean, quite clearly.
I had kind of these childish ideas of, well, this is good and that's bad and this is right and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. But it was on, you know, kind of like a childlike level.
Yeah.
When you see the overall depth of it and how profound it is.
Yeah. Whoosh. Yeah. And even in that moment, God creates us in such a way that, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty hard to reject at that point, but we still have the free will to choose.
That's right.
Because God doesn't make us to love Him, you know, from just because He forces us to do that. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Our love for Him comes from our own heart. You know, it comes because we respond to His love.
Mm-hmm.
We return in love what love has made, as you know, as one song says. And that's, you know, we get all caught up in earthly, you know, in the things of the earth, of the world, as far as love goes, romantic love, which is far different than the love that Christ calls us to lay down our life for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tall order to change. It's a tall order to come to place of.
But when you go as the ambassador with the message from your government, your government's the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, your government is the Son of David who sits on David's throne forever, and it's never going to be abolished. And it's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. Unlike, I mean, every earthly government can go away.
Right.
I mean, if the world goes on another 1,000 years, there probably won't be a United States of America 1,000 years from now, because countries come and go.
Right.
Governments come and go. I mean, you look through all of history, you know, what's Rome now? It's just a city.
Right.
In Italy.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be an empire that controlled most of the known world.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can take any empire as an example. And it's when you go as the ambassador from this kingdom and somebody shows, you know, contempt for you or disagreement, you know, strong disagreement. I'm not saying, you know, somebody can ask questions and so forth, but strong disagreement, calls you names, insults you at every level. They're not insulting just you. They're insulting Him that sent you, because as long as you're faithfully giving the message, that person's fighting against the king, not just against you.
Mm-hmm.
Just as if if something happens in a nation one nation does something against another, that nation calls the ambassador in and says, listen, you tell your president, blah, 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 that person is insulting the country the guy is from and his government. He's not just insulting him. He's not really insulting him personally.
Exactly.
And this is where we are as ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we communicate what we've received, like Paul talks about, and if they reject the message, they're rejecting him that gave the message.
Exactly.
Ooh, it's a break already. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in a minute.
Oh,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Wow. Huh. Last segment?
Last segment.
Already?
Yeah. Wow. You had a good scripture verse that we were talking about during the break.
I did. In Mark 9, Mark chapter 9, verse 37, you know, they're asking Jesus about the greatest in the kingdom. And at the end, he says, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with us as ambassadors. Yeah. If you're talking to somebody and they say, wow, Steve, that sounds kind of interesting. Let's talk some more. Let's sit down here and talk to us about this some more. And you keep talking to him. He's receiving you and receiving the Lord who sent you.
Yeah.
If he rejects you and humiliates you, then he's rejecting the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. Somewhere else where Jesus says that too. I was thinking about when you were talking about it, but yeah, as an ambassador, if they receive the message, you know, or Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, my Father and I will come in and we will sup with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're going to dwell with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have supper with you.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship that Jesus wants with us is an intimate relationship.
That's right.
And, you know, something that the Lord's really been placing on my heart recently is, do I really talk to Jesus as a friend?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a close friend? You know, and I think sometimes we can make Jesus so distant because of his divinity that we forget about his humanity, which he's all, you know, he's 100% human, 100% divine.
Yeah.
But he came to be with us. And to walk with us.
Yeah.
And, this, as he tells his disciples, you know, I no longer call you, I call you friends. You know, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing.
That's right.
That's the type of relationship he wants to have with us. Because he wants us to, you know, he wants us to have the fullness of life, as he says in John 10:10.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can bear fruit.
That's right.
An abundant harvest for the kingdom.
Yeah. And again, you know, that as you're saying that, I was thinking, and we've said this so many times and all of you know this, that.
Say it again.
When you receive and understand the good news, you want other people to have the good news too.
Oh yeah.
Rather than, you know, shutting yourself up in your living room saying, I got the good news. Ha ha. This is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait to tell somebody else about it.
Right.
Because you want to go out and tell everybody about it.
You want to tell everybody about it. Yep.
Yeah. And another thing I was thinking about with, ambassadors is, you know, the embassy of a country is considered the sovereign territory of that country, even though it's in a foreign country.
Yeah.
So the laws of that country don't apply to the embassy.
True.
But what's happening now is churches are lowering their walls, lowering their defenses and letting, you know, the laws of their quote country around them saying, oh yeah, come on in. You guys, we just want everybody to like us. We want everybody to feel good over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not supposed to be that way. The embassy has the American embassy in every country has Marines guarding it.
Right.
Because it's part of the United States.
Right.
You know, we're in the embassy of the kingdom. We're supposed to live according to the kingdom laws.
Right.
Not the laws of the country that's around us.
Right.
And, you know, that coupled with the fact that we've been saved by this message, we've been saved by this good news, we want to go out in the street and tell everybody else about it.
Amen.
We don't want to be shut up inside the embassy saying, well, I'll just sit in here and relax because it's safe in here.
Yeah.
That's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, if you think about it, when you said that, I pictured the disciples hiding out in the upper room after Jesus died.
Yeah.
For fear.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, we present the plan.
Mm-hmm.
We present what our government has told us to present, mm-hmm. what the king has told us to say, and we hold it up for people to see. If we alter that message, then I don't know what we're doing.
Well, and neither does the person who's hearing it.
That's right.
Know what we're doing.
That's
and
right.
We really discredit. we really discredit the message, because the person who doesn't believe thinks, well, is it this way or is it that way? Most people want to hear the truth, even if they don't like it. They want to hear the truth.
That's right.
You know, if you know, even when, you know, the Pharisees told Jesus, would you tell us plainly, are you the Messiah?
Yeah.
And he does. Well, they didn't like it and they didn't believe it, but he told them plainly. So even though we tell the message plainly, there's no guarantee that the person who is hearing it is going to receive it right at that very moment. But we're to proclaim the message so that the seed of God's word can fall upon their heart.
Yes.
And that their heart can be nourished.
Yes.
And fertilized with the word of God.
Yes.
So that it can, at some time, at some point, take root.
Mm-hmm.
And then that root of salvation buds forth and blossoms, and then they do receive the message of the gospel, mm-hmm. and the salvation that Jesus offers them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not it's not always an immediate thing that's going to happen, but in our culture, and we really struggle with this. Oh, everybody does. Everything is so immediate.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
oh.
You know, I can ask Google a question and I get an answer. Right, wrong, or indifferent, but I get an answer.
Yeah.
But it's not always that way in the kingdom, where something might take years to bud forth and blossom.
Yeah. Wow, show's over already.
It is.
Ooh, well, next week's Pentecost.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited.
I am too.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that that the love of Christ would impel your hearts to come and know the truth that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, rose again, and has adopted you as sons and daughters and as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.